Amen. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be in church tonight. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. I'll invite your attention to chapter 15 and verse number 22 tonight. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Knowing that I'd be preaching on Halloween, the night of Halloween, I thought about a nice scary message we could study from God's Word. And I thought about doing the bus ride from hell, but too many people have heard that. If you were in Brother Murr's youth group, it's a message that he would preach at the bonfire every year, and I'm pretty sure that many of us have that memorized and could recite it if we had to, but he also owns the copyright to that message, and so I couldn't preach that tonight. But the Lord directed our heart today to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. I know this is what God has for us tonight. We're just going to look at one verse tonight. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." We'll read that one more time. "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've blessed us with, Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight, the ability to be in church tonight. Thank you, Lord, for those that made the decision tonight to be in your house. And Lord, as we know that it's just half the battle, Lord, opening our hearts and minds to what you have for us from God's word, Lord, is most important. And Father, I pray that we would do that tonight, have our hearts and minds open to what you have for us from your word tonight. God, I've got nothing of myself to offer or give, but Lord, I pray that you would just fill me with your Holy Spirit tonight. And I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand, Lord, just to present what it is you've laid on my heart through study and preparation. Father, I pray that you help me tonight just to be clear and concise with your word. And Father, I pray that you'd help me say only those things that you have me to say. And Lord, I pray that you would just help everyone in this room again have their hearts open, bind the devil from distracting or stealing away the seed of your word. And Father, I pray again our focus be solely upon you and your word tonight. And I pray that you be glorified through this message. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We read this in verse number 22. Again, looking at that, it says, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed." And we'll talk more about that word, purposes, in just a minute. But if you could sum it up with one word, I'd say plans. The purposes we read here, and we'll talk about it again in just a second, would be that of plans. And I think that as we sit here tonight, I think everybody is familiar with plans and making plans. And maybe even people tonight enjoy planning things and they're planners. And when I've learned about planning, that there's really two ends of the spectrum. There's the person that plans everything, that they've got everything planned out for the day, for the week, for the month, for the year. When it comes vacation time, they know exactly what they're doing, when they're doing it. At this particular time, they're traveling to this place, and then they're doing this, and then they're going to spend this amount on this, and this is exactly what's going to happen. And any deviation from said plan is miserable to them. It's like something that's heartbreaking. It's a fail to them. I think about people planning everything to the nth degree. I've had the privilege of the last several years working with Brother Rusty and Miss Crystal. And if you don't know them, they're planners. All right, you don't believe me, just ask them what's going on Friday night at the bonfire. And they could tell you every single detail down to the number of kernels of corn that's going to be in the grab of the game that's got a whole thing full of corn and kernels. And that's one of the things they are. They're planners, and that's great. I understand that, and that's a wonderful thing that they're that level of planners. Then there's the other end of the spectrum. There's people that really aren't planners at all. I like to say these are the people that they like to fly by the seat of their pants. They just want to see what happens and just go with the flow, and they're happy with whatever takes place and whatever happens. And I know people like that as well, that they're that type of person. And really, I think that, I didn't want to name you, Brother Scott, but you said amen, so. And then there's those that fall somewhere in between. And I feel like that's really where I fall. I'm somewhere in between. I'm neither a fly by the seat of my pants, nor am I planning every single minute of every single day and every single detail of every single activity and every single thing that I do. I feel like I fall somewhere in between. So tonight, I just want to ask you real quick, who falls on the extreme planner side? Just be honest tonight. Bunch of liars, okay. Who falls on the fly by the seat of your pants side? You'll be honest. Who feels like you fall somewhere in between? All right, very good. I can sympathize with you people. I know exactly what that's like to be somewhere in between. But in thinking about that, I think that one of the things we can be guilty of is kind of planning our life and kind of planning out the next day, the month, the week, the year, what's going to take place, and And taking all these things and putting them in, maybe not on paper necessarily, but in our hearts and our minds, we kind of have a general idea of the way things are supposed to go and the way things are going to happen and the way we desire them to happen. And if you are honest tonight, you can look back on your life over the last 5, 10, 15 years, and you can see that the way things have gone aren't necessarily the way that you have planned. But you've gotten to where you're at at this point. But as we think about that tonight and understanding this idea of plans and making plans and that, whatever level of planner you may be, plans are a part of our life in one way or another. As we read here in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 15 and verse number 22, taking in consideration the entire book of Proverbs, Solomon is writing to his son. And he's trying to give him wisdom and instruct him and trying to help prepare him to be the man that God wants him to be. He's trying to warn him about what's around, the dangers ahead. He's trying to encourage him to do right. He's trying to help him to make right decisions. And it's something that any father here tonight would say they would want for their son as well. And as King Solomon is writing to his son and understanding his future plans and the possibilities that are there and the resources available to him, we come to this verse in verse number 22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed." And you read the rest of that, it says, "But in the multitude of counselors, they are established." And so we look at this tonight, and there's a few things I want to study from this passage as we look at this tonight. First of all is this, the reality of our plans. The reality of our plans. It says there the word purposes, and then it refers to it in the second half of the verse, and it says they, that's referring to the purposes, those being established, understanding the idea there of plans. Now, as I said tonight, the truth is we all have plans. We have plans. We have things that we think are going to go and decisions we're going to make and some things ahead in our life, and maybe they come up even unexpectedly and we jump right into a plan of action and we follow that and we go forward. Those are plans or goals or things that we all experience in our lives. And so as you read this word purposes, it's either intentions or plans or goals, and it's used several other times throughout Scripture, often as the word devices or thoughts or imagination. So this really helps us get an understanding of this word purposes. This is talking, as I would just sum it down, to plans as we use that there. Now, some of these plans have in our life have little to no impact on our spiritual lives. We understand that. Some of the plans that I have or some of the plans that I make have little or no spiritual value on my life at all. That's like plans for vacation. That doesn't really matter in the light of eternity, as long as I'm not doing anything sinful, not putting myself in a position, not paying my bills by going on some elaborate vacation. The understanding is planning a vacation that really doesn't have an impact on eternal things. Or you think about maybe you've got a night at home and you want to plan a date with your spouse or plan a fun night for your kids. Those are plans that you have. And again, this will not be the plans we're talking about. These have no really lasting implications in light of eternity. And these are plans that you make and you're trying to plan for things. And I think about even my son Brady. He plays, I guess you don't play it, but he participates in fantasy football. And one of the things he does each week, he tries to plan who he's going to start. And he'll ask me who he thinks I should start to pick up or drop. And I'm like, "Brady, it's your team. You do what you want. I've got my own team to worry about, okay? I don't need to worry about your team too." But the understanding is these are plans that we make. But those are just the kind of ancillary small plans that have no bearing on the light of eternity. But you know as well as I do tonight that there are some plans that do very much weigh into eternal value in what our life can become. And those are the type of plans that Solomon's talking about. He's talking about it to his son who's eventually going to take over the throne. He's trying to help him understand there's going to be some things, some decisions, some choices ahead in your life that you're going to have to be prepared for. And these plans and these purposes are vitally important to your life. And I think about that here tonight on our scale and think about some of the plans we make. You know, I think about the teenagers tonight. They may be thinking about, who am I going to marry? Now, the one thing that I've learned from teenagers oftentimes, especially teenage girls, at least I know this is the case for my wife as a teenage girl, is they've got everything planned for the wedding except for who they're going to marry. All right, they know where the wedding's going to be. They know what songs are going to be sung at the wedding. They know what colors are going to be there. They know what the dessert, the flavor of the cake's going to be. They know all those things. The only thing left to plan is who they're going to marry. And that, of course, as you think about that, that's a vitally important decision and a vitally important plan to make. You think about this, when you're taking a job or you're involved in a job, you plan about how committed can I be to this job? And what are the implications on the level of commitment I have to this job? Where am I going to have to sacrifice? Where might I have to take time from in order to give it to this job? Or you think about where am I going to live, or your plans for your family, your finances, where your kids are going to go to school. All these things have some impact not only on your life, but the life of those around you. And these are the plans and the purposes of which Solomon is speaking when he's talking to his son and helping him understand what the result can be of these plans. As I said tonight, we all have plans for the way we expect our lives to go and the path we will take. And there's a couple things to understand about that tonight. First of all, is God knows your plans already. As you sit here tonight, you may have it all worked in your mind. What's going to happen next? If there's some problem that presents itself, perhaps you're going through something right now, physically or financially or in a relationship, and you already have it all planned out how it's going to work. Can I tell you that God already knows about it? God already knows your thoughts. God is already very much aware of it. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles chapter number 28, verse 9, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know that the God of thy father," David speaking to Solomon, "and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts." That word thoughts is the very same Hebrew word that's translated in our passage as purposes. So God knows those, and David's revealing this to his son. He says, "If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." In Psalm 94:11, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man." That word again, thoughts, that's there. It's the same Hebrew word we find in our passage tonight. That they are vanity. "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." So God already knows our thoughts and our plans. God already knows what we're up to and what the step we want to take next and how we're going to deal with whatever situation we're staring right in the face of. But here's what we also have to know tonight is that our plans are not always God's plans. And that's where the problem lies. There's a lot of times we've got this all figured out and we know the path we're going to follow and we know the plan to execute and we know in our minds how we think it's all going to turn out. But the question often arises, is the plan that I'm about to take even God's plan? Because God, again, already knows our plans, and we may have this all, something that's all laid out ahead of us, this purpose that's already determined, but God knows those plans. That same word that's used in this passage for purposes is one we find in Isaiah chapter number 55, a familiar passage. Isaiah 55 verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts." That word thoughts, again, mirrors purposes in our passage here. "And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And we all know this verse, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." All right, this isn't just what God is thinking. God is saying, my plans for you are not your plans. These aren't something that you've cooked up yourself. These aren't something that you've laid out yourself. My plans for you are different than your plans for you. Now, sometimes God will allow those things to mesh together, but God is making it clear that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So as we think about that tonight, yes, we all have plans. God already knows those plans, but the truth of the matter is tonight that those plans don't always line up with God's plans. And we may have the best intentions in mind, but the understanding is those purposes need to be God's purposes. We must be willing to consider that our plans may not be God's plans. That's the first step, is to stop and realize that, hey, what I thought I want to do, the steps I've thought I've wanted to take in the path that I'm on right now, is it possible that I'm not even following God's plan for my life? God's purpose in this situation, I'm not talking about in the broad scheme, I'm talking about narrowing it down. Then we understand that God has never said that his thoughts or his ways or his purposes are going to be easy. I think about the ark. I think about the Battle of Jericho. Those were not easy ways in which God carried out his plan. But God did say his thoughts or his plans are better or higher than our own. So that's the truth tonight, is that we all have plans. We make plans. We have purposes. We understand that through Scripture tonight. But what we see in this passage, that there is a result to our plans. There's one of two things that can happen to our plans. The Bible says they can either be disappointed or they can be established. There's one of two options. There's no in between. He says that these thoughts, these purposes, your plans, whatever you want to call them, these imaginations, whatever you have that's yours, that you say is my plan and my purpose, God says there's a result. There's one of two results. They're either going to be disappointed or they're going to be established. You look first of all at the verse, it says in verse number 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. One of the options is disappointment. These purposes being disappointed. Now, the word disappointed here means that they were broken up, defeated, or failed. Now, has anybody ever had your plans fail before? I think we all have. You've had something in mind that you thought was going to take place. You've imagined it a certain way, and it's all fallen apart, and it's failed. And I'll tell you, that's something that's pretty devastating, pretty disappointing. All right? Has anybody ever been there before? Like, we've all understood that. And these could be plans that are carnal and temporal, or they could be plans that were in eternal in your mindset, or something that had lasting implications. I think about last Christmas, around Christmas time, I was talking to Brother Andy and Brother Buddy, and we decided, hey, let's all take our families to Newfields and see the lights. Everybody know where Newfields is? It's the art museum. They've got some fancy name now, okay? And I can tell nobody goes to the art museum. But anyways, they've got the lily house. They decorated in Christmas attire, and then they've got light displays that move to music and all that. And so we said, hey, we'll just all meet there at this time, and we'll go look at the lights together. Our families have a great time. You know, I told my kids about it. They were stoked. They were so excited. They couldn't wait. So I'm driving there, and I don't know why I wasn't paying attention, but I missed my exit, went on to the next exit, took a bunch of back roads, finally pulled into Newfields. I mean, it was backed up all the way to the main street, and so we finally got in. We parked. We walked all the way up. Brother Buddy had pre-bought his tickets. Brother Andy had just bought his just minutes before I walked up, and we walked up, and they said, I'm sorry, we're full. We can't sell any more tickets. And I said, yeah, oh, I was right, Nancy. That was sad. I said, are you kidding me? I said, they're right there. These people we're with are right there. I mean, he just bought tickets just minutes before. No, I'm sorry, we're at capacity. I'm like, it's outdoor lights. I don't know what capacity is for being outside, but apparently it's pretty low. So I had to go back and tell my kids, I'm sorry, we can't go. And they're all in tears. And my wife's like, you got to do something. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to make a scene, and asking for a manager and all this and that. And long story short, we had to leave while the Himes and the Folgers got to walk around and see the lights. And I can tell you this, my family is pretty disappointed. My kids are pretty disappointed. Now, that's on a small scale, just something that doesn't last in light of eternity. But I want you to think about that spiritually. Are you willing to risk disappointment of your plans? Because it's a possibility of being devastated, of being brokenhearted, of looking and finding out that it's not going to work. It's been defeated. It's been broken up. It's failed. I'll tell you this, no one plans on their plans failing. It doesn't happen. All right? Don't sit there and be like, well, actually, I'm such a planner, I have a backup plan all the time. All right? Well, nobody still plans on their plans failing. But the same is true spiritually speaking. When I'm facing a tough decision and I make a plan to follow something, to go forward, the possibility is there that I'm going to be disappointed. It's going to happen. It can happen. The reality is it's possible that our plans will fail. When given the chance, we will always do what we can to keep them from failing. So that's what nobody wants, is the disappointment. But there's another option there, and that's not disappointment. That's to have those plans established. Look at that in verse number 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. They're defeated. They're failed. They're broken up. But as you continue reading there, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So there's another option. I think as we all sit here tonight, I think we'd all agree that between disappointment and established, I'll take established. Established means accomplished or confirmed. This is exactly what everyone expects. This is what they want to see. When I make these plans for my family or for my life or for my spiritual choices going ahead and what could impact my life in a spiritual sense, I want to see them established. That's the goal that we all have. We like when everything works just as we planned. That's nice. When everything works out just the way that it's been planned, that's a beautiful thing. I know that any of the staff would say that as they plan events here at the church and for them to go exactly as planned or as close to it as possible, it's a good thing. I think about our vacation in Disney World last year. We made plans about what we're going to do, where we're going to go, what rides we're going to ride when, which parks where, when we're going to the beach, all these things. And I'll tell you what, looking back, it all worked perfectly, except for losing my wallet at the beach. But then it actually turned out to be in the car. I thought it was at the beach. But still, everything else is great. All the plans worked out. That's great. That's what we like to see. But think about that again on a spiritual level. That in my life, I'd love to see the choices I make and the decisions I make and the plans I have for my life turn out to be established, confirmed, and accomplished. And given the choice, who wouldn't choose for their plans to be established? Now, the third thing tonight, the last thing, is the resources for our plans. The key to whether purposes are disappointed or established is counsel. It's counsel. It's not anything about me in particular. It's not anything about how great I am or the number of things I can do to manipulate things. It says very clearly that it's about counsel. It says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. In a multitude of counselors, they are established. It's all about the counsel. Our plans or purposes must be dictated by our counsel. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 20:18. Every purpose, it is established by counsel. And with good advice, make war. Proverbs 24:6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. I think one thing is clear tonight as we read these verses and even consider our verse in chapter 15 and verse number 22, that the key to having my purposes or plans established is seeking counsel. It's seeking counsel. It's seeking godly counsel. So we understand this tonight, that first of all, if I'm going to have this resource, if I'm going to have counsel, I've got to get it. I've got to get counsel. Now, counsel should be wise. I mean, that's a given. That should be understood, that we aren't talking about getting just any kind of counsel. Not talking about just asking any person random walking down the street or some unsafe person we're working with or anything like that. I want to get counsel that is specifically wise. Counsel is defined as advice, opinion, or instruction given upon request or otherwise for directing the judgment or conduct of another. That's getting advice to direct my conduct or judgment. That's pretty important. I want to make sure that I get wise counsel. Think about it this way. If I have a plumbing issue, I'm not going to ask somebody that has no clue about plumbing what to do about my plumbing. It doesn't work. I don't need that advice. That's not very wise advice. If I've got a problem with my car, if I've got a problem with the church van, and I'll do this sometimes, I ask Brother Mac, and I ask Brother Dan, I ask mechanics in the church, Brother Chris, all right? I don't ask people that are not mechanics. I want to come to the people that have the wisdom of what we're dealing with. The source of your counsel will determine the soundness of your counsel. Where you're going to, the source they're getting that counsel is going to depend on how sound that counsel is. And so if I want wise counsel, I've got to go to somewhere or something that is wise. And the question is, well, how do you know if counsel is wise? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Because not everybody that is willing to say something or give counsel is the right kind of counsel or counselor. And so there has to be discretion on our part to understand that if I'm going to get counsel, it's got to be wise counsel from a wise source. I just wrote down three pretty obvious signs of if it's wise counsel or not. First of all, it aligns with God and His Word. The counsel that they give, the direction that they help point me to, the advice that I'm going to align my life by and help to direct my life, it's first of all got to agree with God and His Word. If it doesn't, then it's not wise. That's a pretty easy sign and indicator of whether or not it's wise counsel. Also, the source from which it comes should be a godly source. All right? That's the person that maybe I'm getting counsel from. That should be a godly individual. Again, I'm not going to go to somebody that's struggling to keep their life in order and is not even seeking God to ask them what about I should do or what I should do in some situation. That, again, I'm trying to help us understand the determining factors of whether or not that counsel is wise. It aligns with God and His Word. The source is a godly one, and the source has your best interest in mind. The third thing, if it's wise or not, they have your best interest in mind. So the counsel needs to be wise, but the counsel must be sought. There must be a recognition that you need it and that you should look for it. It's going to take effort, but it's very much worth it. I want you to think about this verse, or turn over to Proverbs chapter number 20 real quick. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, it says this, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." Listen, it's there. In a wise individual, the counsel is there. And this is one of the things I challenged my Sunday school class with this last week, was kind of broadening their engagements in the church outside of their own age group. Because there are people in this church that are older than them that have some wisdom that is there that can be drawn out. It's like deep water, but a man of understanding knows this, that I've got to put the work in and the effort in necessary to draw it out. That's there. That wisdom is there. And so we see this, that yes, if I'm going to have my purposes established, then I must seek counsel. But the other thing I see here is to consult multiple counselors. It says there in verse number 22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude or abundance of counselors, they are established." There's something about that idea of abundance, finding an abundance of counselors. Because see, what happens here is that sometimes we just get one. And sometimes, I'm telling you, it's a possibility that the counsel you get from the one, although it's a wise person, it may not be God's counsel for you. Maybe that was God's counsel for them in that situation, but it may not be God's counsel for you. So not in an effort to question them, but in an effort to establish the right decision, consult multiple counselors. Now, I'm not saying you need to walk out of here and be like, Pastor Titt is not enough. I've got to go find seven other pastors in the city of Indianapolis. Brother Aaron told me to. That's how it's established, in a multitude of counselors. Because here's something you should know. You've got a couple of counselors at your disposal right now. You've got the counsel of God's Word sitting in your lap right now. You can look at God's Word. Psalm 119:105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You have God's Word as your guide. And can I tell you this tonight? I hope you understand what I'm saying. But God's Word as a source of our counsel should be our first resource. Our first resource. You might sit here tonight and say, "Brother Aaron, what about God?" Well, I'll talk about that in just a second. But as the Bible being my first resource, if the Bible gives me the counsel I need and makes it clear and direct, then I don't have to ask God about what I'm supposed to do. I know that sounds weird. But if God's Word tells me I'm supposed to win souls, I don't need to go ask God counsel on whether or not I'm supposed to win souls. If God's Word tells me not to forsake the assembling of myself together in the Lord's house, then I don't have to go to God and ask counsel whether or not I should be in church. It's there. A lot of times the answer's right there. All the counsel we need is within God's Word. We simply have to read it and apply it. The question about our plans should be, does God's Word give me any direction on this? You're facing a situation, you're facing a problem, you have some decision to make, it's staring you right in the face. Your first question should be, does God's Word have any help in this situation? And I can tell you the answer most definitely is yes, absolutely. And of course, you have the counselor of God Himself. As I said, I mentioned that second because God's Word, if it already directs me, I don't have to ask God to clarify it. All right, I follow God in His Word. The Bible talks about Him being called a counselor, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in prophecy, but it calls Him the counselor. And Isaiah 28:29 refers to Him as counsel as well. John 16:13 says this, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." The Holy Spirit of God. God has given Himself as a resource, as a counselor to us. We can go to His Word and we can go to Him in prayer, and already we've hit counselors, two things. Counselors. But also, God's given us godly leadership. God's given us a pastor. God's given us, as children here tonight, God's given you parents. As you sit here tonight, I mentioned this already, as a member in the church, God's given me older, wiser Christians in this church as counselors to me. It's there. And the Bible says, in all of these, they can be established. Godly friends as well. Emphasis on godly. All these counselors are there and they're available, and there is, as the Bible says in other passages, there's a safety in a multitude of counselors. There's a safety there. I can think of one instance where I counseled several people about something, and all but one told me the same thing. And the one person that told me something different was Brother Sam Davison. Now, I'm not saying his counsel was ungodly or unwise, but I had several other different counsels, and they all agreed with one thing, differing from Brother Sam. You say, what was it about, Brother Aaron? It was something very simple. It was whether or not I should stay in Oklahoma City the summer before we got married, or if I should come home, be with my wife-to-be, and then go back to Oklahoma City. Now, I tell you this, looking back, I know that I made the right decision. God gave me a job while I was here before I went back to Oklahoma City. I already had it lined up for me. I had an interview the day I got there and got the job. I'm saying this, I hope you understand, there's a safety in a multitude of counselors. Because a lot of times what will happen is we'll pick the one that suits us best or the one we think is best. But instead, I want to take that safety and have that way established in a multitude of counselors. The last thing is this when considering counsel is not only to make sure it's wise, not only to find it in multiplicity, but the last thing tonight is this, is to follow that counsel. Again, it's one thing to get counsel. It's another thing to follow it, to do what that counsel says. There's countless instances in Scripture where people have received counsel and not heeded it, or received counsel and heeded it, or received counsel from multiple places and picked the counsel that they liked best. But as we close tonight, I want to consider Solomon's own son, Rehoboam. Turn to 1 Kings chapter number 12. To whom this was written. So in chapter number 11 of 1 Kings, God reveals that the kingdom is going to be split. Jeroboam is going to get the 10 northern tribes, and Rehoboam is going to get the 2 southern tribes, going to be divided into Israel and Judah. And so understanding that and seeing what's going to take place here as we pick up the reading in 1 Kings chapter number 12, the Bible says this in verse number 1, and Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem, to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous, now therefore make the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto him, depart yet for 3 days, and come again unto me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old man, or counseled, and that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer the people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto these people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. And if you would continue reading, we won't do it tonight, you would find that they gave him much harsher terms in how to deal with Jeroboam. And instead of making it lighter, he was going to make it more difficult and harder. And this was the final nail in the coffin in splitting the kingdom in two. In an effort that could have maybe united the kingdom or at least given Judah the upper hand on Israel, instead resulted in a complete split of the kingdom. Why? Because he failed to follow godly counsel. It's not that he didn't get it. He chose the one he liked better. He went to the younger men instead of the older men that sat before his father Solomon. And we see what happened ultimately is that those purposes, those plans, were disappointed. Turn back to Proverbs chapter number 15. One more time, the Bible says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, defeated. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So what about it tonight? Your purposes, your plans, will they be defeated, disappointed, or will they be established? I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. We might have the best intentions for these plans, but are they God's plans? These plans are either going to be disappointed or established, and that's determined by whether or not we're going to seek wise counsel. What about it tonight, father, mother, child? Maybe it's a health situation. Maybe it's a home situation. Maybe it's a financial situation. Oftentimes we have these all planned out. But are they God's plans? Have we sought counsel? I don't know how God spoke to your heart tonight. We're not going to have a musical invitation, but the altar's always open. I don't know how God might have spoken to you tonight, but if you need to come forward, you can do business with God. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege again we had to study your word. And Father, I pray that you would just help us all to be determined to seek your counsel in every situation, that those purposes or those plans would be established, Lord, and not disappointed. And Father, I pray that you would just help us now as we dismiss from this place, give us safety as we travel home. Lord, I pray that you continue to be the pastor and Mrs. Titt as they're away. Be the pastor as he even will be preaching in just a few moments, fill him with your spirit. Lord, I pray that you give them safety as they travel home. And Father, bring us all back again Sunday, ready to worship you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.